turn to the Word of God now and consider what we've been reading about the whole armour of God, overcoming the world, and overcoming the evil one, indeed. No less than that is what the Bible says we will do. And one aspect of the life in the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, is being a soldier. And again, it's a picture. We're not real soldiers. We don't wear physical armour or wear a peaked cap, or we don't salute each other when we're in church on Sunday mornings. We don't salute the Lord like that. We raise our hands to him. But it is a picture of one aspect of the Christian life. Like it or not, we are in a war, a spiritual war. It's no less real than a natural war, a physical war. It's just invisible to our physical eyes. As we read earlier in Ephesians, we're up against principalities and powers, angelic beings that have control of this world. And the Bible makes a rather chilling statement about this. In 1 John 5:19, you read this: we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And that's quite a tough one for us to swallow, actually, isn't it? The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. How can that be? We look around and it's quite a beautiful place. Well, it certainly is from my viewpoint as I look out over the Severn Estuary towards Wales. And there are nice things to look at. There's beauty in this world. How is it in the power of the evil one? But the Bible is quite clear that it is, that the greater affairs of mankind, wars and rumours of wars, there are principalities and powers behind these things that we can't see. And Daniel, he's given in the book of Daniel in the Bible, he's given a glimpse of the conflict in the heavenly places, the wrestling of angels sent from God against the fallen angels under the command of the devil. And although he didn't take part in that conflict, Daniel is nevertheless given a glimpse of it. And we generally don't take part in those conflicts. We let the heavenly things get on with whatever they do. But we do pray, as we are led sometimes, that maybe some particular evil influence may be overthrown in the name of Jesus. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says this about being a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 1 to 4. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering. Excuse me. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And he's saying to Timothy, what's all that about getting entangled in civilian pursuits? He's saying to Timothy, remember why you are here. Remember what God has put you on this world to do. And don't get distracted by the nice things in this world. There are all kinds of things that you could do. You can be whatever you want to in this life. But what does God want you to do? What particular thing has he called you to do for his church, for his people? So Paul uses the analogy of a soldier. And there's suffering. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough sometimes, as it is for any soldier. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. And here we read too that even Jesus did not please himself when he was on this earth, but his aim was to please his Father. And so Paul says to Timothy, don't get entangled in civilian pursuits, since the soldier's aim is to please the one who enlisted him. You have a commanding officer, Timothy, he's saying. Please him. The rewards are out of this world. What is it? The joining fee is free, but the annual membership is everything. And the rewards are out of this world. And it sounds pretty tough, doesn't it? This sounds demanding. This sounds heavy. But Jesus said, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. How is it that this is not a heavy thing that God asks of us? Well, we have a lot of help. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And it's in the Spirit that we put on the whole armor of God. And we read earlier that our sins are forgiven, all washed away, and we've overcome the evil one. What is the power that the evil one has over people? It's the sin in their lives. It's the things that entice them and distract them and enslave them and ensnare them. And the love of the world can be a snare in that. And that's why, as we read in John, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, it's not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And we read later in 1 John about leaving the world behind. As we go on to chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whomever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And God has given us equipment to overcome. He's given us the heavenly armor, and he's given us our faith. And that's the victory that overcomes the world and also overcomes the evil one. The power of the evil one is in the sin in our lives, and it is washed away in the blood of Jesus when we become Christians. When I was a young Christian, I used to read about the blood of Jesus, and I thought, what's all this about? This all sounds very uncivilized. Blood sacrifice and atonement. So I thought Christianity was a civilized religion when I first became a Christian. But I began to realize it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. It's completely clear that we are saved and we have victory only by the blood of Jesus. And I remember when I started asking God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit after reading a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. And it spoke about how these gangsters and drug addicts, when they got converted, they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to turn their lives around. And God gave them that power when they asked for and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I got prayed for by a couple of elders from the local Elim Pentecostal Church one evening. How that came about is another story. But as they prayed, they said something very strange. And they said this: before we enter the holy presence of God, let us surround ourselves with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, what? And did I start to see red liquid swirling about me or anything like that? No, nothing like that. What a strange thing to say. Let us surround ourselves with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ before we enter the holy presence of God. And I learned something. It was the start of a journey that evening. I learned something very profound, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is very powerful. We are made clean and we are able to enter the holy presence of God in the Spirit when we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And to cut a long story short, God did what I asked him to that evening. He baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and nothing happened outwardly. I didn't speak in tongues, not then anyway, later I did. But I knew that God had done it. I just knew within myself that God had done it. And as I met up with some friends later that evening, they said, well, what's happened to you? You look different. And I told them I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ah, yes, they said. Turned out they'd been praying for me without my knowing. But why blood? It's uncivilized, isn't it? When I first started reading about this in the Bible, I thought, well, I'm not sure I like this. It all sounds uncivilized and messy, but the Bible is completely clear about it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says this: you know that you were not ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And Jesus gave himself to be a blood sacrifice for us. It sounds messy. It sounds uncivilized. It sounds awful. And yet that is what Jesus did. And there is amazing power in the blood of Christ. When by faith we ask for that blood to surround us, to wash us, to cleanse us within, that's what happens. And Satan can't touch us when we're in that condition. His power is the sin in our lives. And when that sin is all washed away, he has no power over us. And we are free to serve the Lord. I'm going to read some verses from Revelation chapter 12 and verses 9 to 11. And this is about things happening in the last days. Some of this is quite mysterious, but it's tells us what we want to know about how to overcome the devil. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them night and day before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." How did they conquer him? By the blood of the Lamb. And there's a hymn we sing, isn't there? There's power in the blood. And one line is this: "Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's power in the blood, wonder-working power in the blood." So that's something for us to remember. When we come up against difficulties in our lives, if we feel that there are things wrong in our lives, that we don't feel clean in the presence of God, we feel the enemy is pointing his finger at us, ask God to wash you in the precious blood of Jesus, that Jesus paid his life for us. The victory is there by faith. We don't see it, but it happens by faith. Sometimes we need a bit of encouragement. It all sounds so easy, doesn't it? We've overcome the world, we've overcome the devil. But when it comes to actually doing it, when we're faced with difficulties in our lives, without and within, with us, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we're like that drowning man. We have to be left to sink until we're ready to be rescued. And when we are in trouble, Psalm 107 is a great one to read. It talks about people from all kinds of situations and in different walks of life. They end up in dire straits, and then they cry out to the Lord, and God delivers them from all their trouble. Psalm 107, it's one of my favorite psalms. And another way not to get discouraged is to look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. It's, again, very familiar verses. "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." And we can grow weary and faint-hearted, can't we? But looking to Jesus. Now that word "looking to Jesus," it's a bit more intense in the Greek. It means fixing our eyes on Jesus. And some translations of the Bible actually say it like that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Not a quick glimpse, a glance. Really look to Jesus. Put him at the center of your attention. Fix your eyes on him. The founder and perfecter, or as other versions put it, the pioneer, the author, the finisher or the completer of our faith. He came here, and he fought the good fight for us. He's forged that faith, and it's his faith that we have. You could say Jesus has been there, done that, got the t-shirt, as we say in colloquial English. He's been down here, he's fought the devil, he's overcome, and he gives us his spirit. I just thought of a few of, I wrote down earlier, a few examples of people who came up against the enemy. There's a famous story of Martin Luther, that famous reformer, who, when he discovered salvation by faith, he had a lot of trouble with the enemy. He suffered from depression, and there's one incident, you know, that he told when he was sitting in his room. I think it was his monk's cell, I think, actually, writing, trying to write down the truths of the gospel. And he just sensed this sinister presence behind him. And he hurled his ink pot at it. Whether he hit the devil or not, I don't know. Did he, or did he just hit the wall and splatter it? Did he splatter the devil with ink or just the wall? I don't know. But I should think it made him feel better. But even a great reformer like Martin Luther came up against the devil in his life. And he didn't just take it lying down. His response was to hurl his ink pot at the devil. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you come across times in it, this wonderful analogy of the Christian life, highly recommended, where he has to fight a monster called Apollyon. It's in the Valley of Humiliation. He comes up against this monster. And this monster accuses him of all the wrong things he's done in his life. And they set to it. They have a battle. And Christian gets his sword out and thrust and parry with this monster. And he goes down several times and gets hurt. But each time he comes back with the word of God, and his final word to the enemy is this: "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again." And that's from the Bible. And with that, the enemy fled, much as he fled from Jesus in the wilderness when Jesus said, "Depart from me, Satan." And Jesus fought the enemy with the word of God. That's how those saints in heaven overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, speaking out the word of God. "Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonder-working power in the blood, and there's power in the sword of the Spirit too, the word of God." To finish off, I want to read you the lyrics from a song by Robin Mark. I would sing it, but I'm not quite sure I'm competent to sing it to you. But I was very impressed by the lyrics of this song. It's called "Men of a Certain Age." And, you know, as we go on in life, we know we come to the proverbial midlife crisis and we can get discouraged. But these verses spoke to me anyway. Let's see if they speak to you too, if you can relate to this. "Men of a certain age are weary. Everything rolls along. Nothing has changed for 30 years now. It's still the same old song. Apathy for your anger. Compromise replaced your rage. Things you once stood for, now you stay seated, you men of a certain age. Men of a certain age are grumpy, for nothing has turned out right. All those things you hoped to accomplish seem to be set aside. Where is that great adventure? How can I turn the page? Rub it all out and start it over, men of a certain age. Well, who told you to quit? Who said to step down? Who said to stop running? Who said that time had been called on your day? Who said the anointing had been taken away? Oh, the battle is won. The kingdom is come. It's time to start running. So pick up that baton and get back in the race, you men of a certain age." And men of a certain age are heroes, at least in their children's eyes, standing for what they once believed in, no hint of compromise. Running the race with patience until their final day, faithful in every word and deed, you men of a certain age. Yeah, I was very challenged and very blessed by that song. So I hope that speaks to you too.